Well, hello, I'm with Graham Onions, and we're here to talk about Bunny's first 11, Graham's memories of his favourite 11 matches of his career. And in this episode, we're going to talk about Durham versus Warwickshire in 2013. And Graham, that was a season full of games with remarkable finishes, and this was certainly one of them.
Yeah, it was, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, this one's not necessarily because I particularly bowled great. It was a tight finish, but this one's obviously quite close to my heart because it was the day that my auntie's funeral. So it's something which I'll never forget. And I also got 5 wickets in the second innings. So I've got the ball. You know, pride of place on the mantelpiece at home, with the date on, and you know, 5 for 83 off 20 overs. So it was it's a game that we won, of course, but it's a game that is obviously very close to my heart.
Absolutely, yes. And as I said, you were involved in a lot of tight games like that in the 2013 season and in the season since. I guess it becomes a bit of a habit when you go into those tight games that you believe you can come out of them.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference. I mean, it's a funny one. We often talk about, you know, what in the changing rooms we say, like, you know, what's going to happen today, because you just never quite know. We often. Had a ball teams out really cheaply and kind of chase them down, but we're like, you know, 8 or 9 down, or you have big scores on the board and teams get close, and I think this is one of those games where we obviously won by 11 runs, which is at the stage, you know, we had a bad second innings, having batted well first innings, and then they obviously got 2, 4, 5 all out in the second innings with only being 11 runs short. But I think it was the mentality of the Durham side is that we just believed that we were going to win. You know, we just kept on running in. I mean, we say we believe we're going to win, but of course you have doubts when they get so close. But and Jeetan Patel was on 50, not out at the time. And I think you just, when you've been in those situations many times before, you just get that feeling in your tummy that you just think that you're going to do it. And if they were going to win, it was not for like a triumph from our side.
Yes, you spoke to the press afterwards, and you said it was probably more of a mental than a physical challenge. You have a lot of those games at the Riverside, don't you, when you get these low scoring matches?
Yeah, we do, and we've had a lot of games since, and it'll just keep on going that way. You know, I mean, at Durham, you know, I believe, and obviously going off the scent a little bit from this game, but I don't think people enjoy coming to Durham. I think batters particularly don't like it because they don't know how to play, they don't know how to react to the pitch, they don't know you know, what's a good score, how are you going to play, are we going to, you know, we always say, you know, stick or twist when we're out on the field. You don't know, are people going to go out and play shots from ball one, or are they going to try and bat, you know, 150 balls for 50 runs? And you know, as soon as you start thinking like that, you're already winning. You know, the game's in our court already. You know, we're kind of that step ahead already. And the thing here at Durham is that things happen quickly. You know, and if we put people, batters under pressure, or batters put bowlers under pressure, which you can score runs here, is that's when you get on top of teams.
Yeah, you say opposition players never like coming here, but it's a great place to come for spectators because it's always, almost always, an exciting match.
Yeah, and I suppose the funny thing is that umpires always think that they can play golf on the last day because it's generally finished within 3 days, and that's not necessarily because of the wicket. I generally think that people come to the North East, they come here at Durham, and their mentality of batting long periods of time and taking each ball at a time goes out the window. I generally feel as though batters come, and obviously I'm speaking from a bowler's point of view, batters come and they change their mindset. And I think that's a credit to our bowlers. Our team ethic of bowling tight spells, not giving them much to hit, but equally we've got to have bowlers that have got good skill. In this game, obviously we did. We put them under a lot of pressure, and we believed. I suppose we believed that we're going to win the game. They batted well. They batted nicely. I suppose in the back of my mind, it was all like, because I remember turning up at 11:15 in the morning after having been to meet my auntie's funeral, and I thought, a little bit cliche, I'm kind of going to do it for her. Of course, it worked out nicely in the end. I remember getting a wicket, and then Stokes got the last wicket, I think it was. And it was just it was just relief, really.
Mm. You mentioned your bowling, but you had an important role to play with the bat as well. You came in the first innings at 224 for 8. Ben Stokes had scored the only 50 of the game at that stage, and all that season, sort of scores around 250 were about par for Durham. So you were just a bit below that. But you made an important 22 not out to get the team to 267.
Yeah, I mean that was. I think you as a tail ender, the mindset is to try and stay with the batsman that's in, or if you can play a slightly more aggressive role if you're with a tail ender, you know, if the ball's in your area, and that's generally the mindset every time you go out to bat as a lower order batter. You try and make the bowlers at a ball at the time, you know, they'll try and get you out first, and then if they don't get you out first, they'll try and kind of knock your head off. And if you can get through a couple of spells, you know, that puts miles into their legs and for their second innings. So of course the runs on the ball first innings were absolutely key in the end, in quite tricky conditions. And then of course we put them under a lot of pressure when they batted first, and obviously with that deficit of around about 56 runs was key throughout the game, really.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously best known for your bowling, but you played some important innings over the years, never more so than in your first spell with England a few times. But in these low scoring games, runs down the order really are important, and you can't get away anymore with just being, you know, just being a rank tail ender. Mike Wood scored 22 this game.
I don't think there is many, no. You know, genuine tail enders. I remember playing against Charles Willoughby, who was a genuine number 11. You literally, if you bowled the ball on the stumps, he would get out. And you know, like times have changed massively, even from a few years ago, where batters. Well, strong teams who are challenging for the championships will bat generally down to, you know, 8 and 9. Yeah, you might have 10, 11 that don't score a great volume of runs, but they can block, and they can, as I keep saying, as a bowler, if you've got your tail enders hanging around for, you know, 10, 15 overs, and you're putting more overs and more spells into their bowlers, then it just makes their second innings that much harder, and it makes them a little bit more tired. That partnership, talking back to this game, that partnership was key. They didn't bowl as well second innings. You know, we probably a few bad shots, but they just didn't have the same kind of pressure. Mm. And I suppose in a way you don't think of it at the time, but obviously the 22 runs that I scored were key.
Yes, I mean, you ended up with a first innings lead of 58. There wasn't a Warwickshire player who's made a half century, and 58 runs in the context of a game like that is a lot.
Yeah, it is. Whenever you're looking at that 250, and I wouldn't say you set out as a batting side to get 250. You set out to try and get 400. Of course you do, but. Anything 250 and above in that season was a decent score. Of course, I think if we did, you know, Ben Stokes potentially, he got in and he got out. I think Will Smith got 45. I think if that partnership there had just got up towards, if they both got hundreds, you know, we would have been in strong control of this game. But you know, that is Durham and the Riverside, and it's the game moves forward, really, and we always say, you know, what's going to happen today at Durham.
Yeah, and your second innings was one that kept it interesting. Mark Stoneman got you off to a great start with 83, but just to back up what you were saying there, Michael Richardson was batting at number 8 for most of that season. Mm. Now bats at 4 for Durham, and he made 55, and that was probably crucial in terms of turning that target into one that you could defend.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean you look down the scorecard, and there was obviously, as you said, Mark Stoneman got off to a blazing start, and a powerful hitter of the ball, and got off to a great start, and then after that it kind of fell away a little bit, and we didn't have enough runs on the board, really. And then of course when when Michael Richardson came in and he started to play nicely, it's the strength and depth in your batting lineup that gets us the run. And that 198 was probably still under par. You still want to be looking for second innings. You want to be looking towards that 250, and we were well under par. But luckily, the 267 in the first innings kind of just kept us in. Of course, obviously, with Warwickshire chasing down or trying to chase down, you never quite know. And that little bit of pressure from a bowling side is, you know, we need to bowl them out. It can be quite hard at times, really.
Yeah, because the Riverside in recent years has tended to flatten out a little bit towards the end, and sometimes you can score more in the last innings of the game than in the first.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, you say that, but I think in this game it was a little bit up and down, and it did do a little bit. But equally, I mean, if somebody plays nicely, someone plays well. I mean, players are allowed to play nicely. You know, they're allowed to play well. That's their jobs. And I remember at the time where I'm thinking, we've got to just keep on believing here. I don't think they had a 50 run. Well, they didn't have a partnership at all, really. They had one between Troughton and Ambrose. It was Ambrose and Jarvid, I think it was. If they had kicked on a little bit more, we would have been in some serious danger. And I think maybe we thought the game was won. And then, of course, Jeetam Patel came in and started to hit the ball to Allport, who's he's an outstanding overseas professional for them. Day in, day out, he produces the goods. And I think Jeetam, over the years, has been a bit of a tail ender. If you let him know that you're around and show a bit of presence, not necessarily by bowling bounces every ball, but showing him that you're around and you're in for the fight, he'll generally give you a wicket away. But his batting's improved a hell of a lot, and he digs in a lot more. And I remember that day he played everything off the front foot, and he was smacking it through the covers. Obviously, luckily from Durham's point of view, we just kind of we had a laugh, really.
Yeah, I mean, you had Warwickshire at 146 for 7, chasing 256, and at that stage, certainly those of us who were watching were probably expecting a win, but it was a really, really frustrating innings Patel played. I mean, he made 50 off 59 balls, and it was a big partnership for the eighth wicket. And I guess that's when the real test of your team's character comes in, doesn't it? Because do you keep persevering with what you think is the right thing, but Jeetam Patel keeps hitting you to the boundary, or do you change tack?
Well, this is what it was, really. I mean, we tried our seamers, and Jeetam Patel bowled well, and we tried to bowl our spinner, and it that didn't play off. And of course, you have to go back to, as a captain, you have to go back to what you believe is going to get that wicket. I bowled 20 overs. The next closest was obviously Stokes. He was 16, who bowled beautifully. I remember he actually swung it round corners at a decent pace on a wicket that was doing a little bit. But it just shows, you know, you get somebody in and they take the attack to you, then you just never know. I mean, at the time we had pretty much everybody on the boundary who was batting. He was batting with Chris Wright, I think, at the time, and I bowled a slower ball, and I remember he just slogged one up in the air down the long arm's throat when they need 11 runs to win. So it was a little bit of a ball delivery to bowl, but when he was coming so hard and just wanted to hit boundaries, not really backing on his tail. We were hoping that he was going to hit one up in the air.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about that sort of discipline and what have you. I guess it all comes from the captain, really, in terms of he's the man who sort of sets the plans and makes the bowling changes and what have you. He has to set the tone in terms of we are sticking to this, we are doing what we should be doing.
Yeah, I think when it comes to anything less than you know, 50s, you know, not too bad, but once you get down to say 20, 25 runs, is you've got to be very careful than just having, you know, every man on the boundary and just hope that he's going to hit one straight up in the air, or if you've got two slips, he's going to edge the ball, because it was big fields. I remember the sun was shining and stuff, and the ball would run away, and you could pick up your runs. And of course, anything down to 20, a couple of boundaries, all of a sudden you're almost into single figures. And And it was a little bit nervy. I remember thinking, you know, like if he hits a couple of more boundaries, yeah, I went to single figures, and they've got a great chance to win this game. But I think at the time, he if he was in my shoes now, he'd probably say I played a pretty bad shot. But I suppose I've got to say that was a pretty good ball to get him out. But to be honest, he played really well. He played nicely. He maybe deserved to be on the winning side, you know, because Gian's a great bloke, and he's obviously such a good overseas for Warwickshire. He has been over the years. Maybe he's deserved that win, but I think the success that we've had and the close games that we've had and knowing how to win those tough situations kind of came into our game, and we deserved it in the end.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Collingwood said after the game, said, I didn't think we were on song in this game, which, as he said, is something he very rarely said in his captaincy at that stage. But when you win a game in that situation against one of the top sides in the country, that must do a lot for your belief, because obviously this season you went on to win the title.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these types of teams are teams that, as a rule, I've actually had quite a lot of success against. But as a team, we've generally struggled. You know, we've had, you know, Keith Barker seems to get runs against us for get wickets against us for fun, and they've got good performers that you know seem to have the upper hand on us, really. So of course this win, I think at the stage of the season, gave us that real drive, that real I suppose encouragement to really go the whole hog and try and win the championship, as you said. But we didn't at that stage think, oh well, we could actually win the championship here, right? It was just another a little bit of relief, a little bit of excitement, but also that taking that that winning mentality into the next game was key.
Yeah, as you say, at that stage, Durham weren't really looked on as title contenders. It was more the second half of the season, but you did get involved in quite a few of these tight games, and knowing that you've come through one like this must have counted a lot for those games to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I think winning games is and winning tight games sometimes are even better, because it really gives you that you know, they've played well, we've played well, and we've came out on top. But you know, as Collie said, I think you can't at the time, you know, you have a beer at the end of the game and you celebrate. But I think we also went to the next game and had a little bit of a chat and said, look, we weren't as good as we could have been, we could have done more, and that's what we do well here at Durham, is we're actually pretty honest with each other. Of course, you have to celebrate every win, because you never know, you might never win another one, and you have to just keep on believing in what you do. And I think us as a team, we're honest with each other. But the night that we had, obviously, that when we won was a good one.
That was part 3 of our Bunnies First 11 podcast. Thanks very much, Graham, for sharing your memories with us. And don't miss part 4, where we'll be talking in 2 weeks' time about the 2007 Friends Provident final. Just a reminder that this is Graham Onion's benefit year, and if you want to learn more about all the events that he's holding over the course of 2015, you can find information at www.grahamonionsbenefityear.co.uk. Thank you and goodbye.